What time is it? Showtime. The brothers discuss sports and provide betting tips. The best kept secret in sports investing. Please welcome Bolt Brady and his bro.
Well, here we go. After a long, hard season, we are finally to the Super Bowl. The big daddy of them all. Welcome into Bolt Brady and his bro. Let's chat Super Bowl, Bolt.
Well, long season or long weekend without the games on.
Yeah, you're getting a little sneak peek here what it's going to be like after this thing's over. It kind of sucks.
Oh, dude. And then in Northern California, we had this brutal rainstorm, so we didn't even have our flag football game to take the place of the NFL games.
Yeah, that was kind of a bummer. It felt like certain things were going to blow away. That thing was whipping so bad.
There was, our flag football got canceled, but another one in the area, you had pointed it out that they played, and this lady that I work with, her kid played in that one, that town's, and she said like the wind was blowing so badly, like the kids' flags were blowing off, and they had to put a fence down at the other side of the field, like to catch the flags and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, maybe that wouldn't have been that much fun to play in.
No, it said the gusts were up to like 56 mile an hour at times. And I looked in my backyard and I said, we got a trampoline. I kind of saw the thing like a third of the way up in the air. And I was like, whoa, I went through like this bench and some dumbbells on it so it doesn't go over to the neighbor's yard.
I could take some things out.
Someone's going to hit me up for some chips if I break their fence.
No kidding. Like when you play golf and you break the windows off the tee shot.
You're bad, bud, living off the fourth fairway there.
Sorry, buddy, you're right in the slicer-oo zone.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was kind of lame. No outdoor sports. Hoops still went on, and I still like to watch NBA and some college stuff, but definitely way more invested in NFL while it's going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are. But it did give me some time. I was reading up on some things, and how about, did you read that this guy, he's like technology tycoon down Silicon Valley, that he's going to start the Olympics with, and the guys can take steroids, the guys and gals. He's like, feel free, let's take the roids.
Oh, it's like a second thing you compete in.
Yeah.
No, I haven't heard of that.
Yep. And they're going to do like track and field and swimming, and they're encouraging the athletes to take steroids.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit like the MLB and NFL and NBA already are, just a little more hidden.
Well, so anyway, that's kind of nutty. He said he's already got like 800 athletes that are like, let's do it. So that'll be kind of legit, like to see the guys in track and field that admit to taking the roids, like, are they going to be faster?
For sure, because some of those guys would get caught. It was like Ben Johnson or whoever from Canada, and then like, they'd hit the world record, and then they have to take it away from them.
Yeah. Well, but I guess, within this article, there was a stat that said that 44% of Olympic athletes admit to taking some form of enhancement. That is illegal for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. That's not hard to tell when you see these guys that are super, or gals that are super yoked, just these muscles just bulging out.
Well, and some of them are more discreet, like a Lance Armstrong, where it kind of helps like your respiratory and your breathing.
Right.
You don't look huge, but it helps your performance.
Yeah, it did. Wow. Big Lance. That was kind of a fall for grace there.
Dude, that stuff's out there everywhere. I don't know how many eyeballs that thing will get. I mean, it'd kind of be more interesting for like a weightlifting competition or something.
Well, no, now no one has to hide it. They come on out, and apparently this guy says, he's like 56. I guess he takes them, he says, to help with the aging process. He's like, he's kind of doing it to bring it to the light, like how it's good for you.
Was it the old Balco guy?
Mm-mm.
Barry Bonds, buddy?
No, his name's like Peter Thiel. I don't know how you pronounce his last name. That's correct or not. Thiel.
Huh.
He was like an early investor in PayPal and Facebook and stuff. So the guy's poor George.
Yeah.
He's just got stupid money. So he's like, let me start an Olympics where you can take roids.
Well, I heard how many eyeballs were on those football games, and like the conference championship ones both averaged over 56 million like viewers.
Yeah.
So it just blows the other sports away.
Well, and this is how it blows it away. So the World Series every one of the games combined didn't match that. Can't match like the 56 million.
If
you add every game together. In fact, I don't even know if you add every game together if it even matches a regular NFL game. That's how bad it is.
No, you know, and what we saw the thing on the average to take like a family of four to an NFL game right now is like $650.
What a joke.
For tickets, parking, you know, a couple brews and some food, it's like you're spending at least $650. So, but the NFL was like, you know, unfortunately it has kind of trickled up where we don't want it to be, but as long as we have the eyeballs on the
TV,
we're good to go.
Right.
And that's been like baseball strategy and stuff too. They don't even care if people are there. They just want those local TV contracts.
Yeah. Well, people aren't at the baseball games. I mean, you know, when I look at a game that's on like Thursday, and even like if the Yankees are in town, you're looking right behind the home plate and it's like there's seats missing all over the place. Empty.
Well, like, especially like Oakland A's, you know, there's like 4,000 people there.
Well, right. But I'm like, even when the Yanks come into town to some of these places, I'm like, what's it like when the White Sox come in, or, you know, someone without the name, like then no one goes.
The third baseman can just hear you yelling stuff at
easily.
Him.
Easily he can, yeah.
Nice fit, bro. You cranking the brews last night?
Yep. Speaking of cranking the brews, I wonder who's cranking them in Las Vegas right now for the Super Bowl. Which players have been taking it out?
The dudes that aren't getting any run.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. But then it's like, which guys that are getting the run? Speaking of the brews, did you see about Patrick Mahomes' dad?
Mm, yeah, he's definitely having a few brews. He had the Coors Light open in the cup holder.
So while he was driving?
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, we should.
And it was the tall can.
Wow. So maybe not everyone heard what happened, but Patrick Mahomes' dad got a DWI. And so you're saying that when they pulled him over, he had the Coors Light in the car.
And this is his third offense, mm-hmm. driving under the influence.
Right. So the last time, I guess, the second time he spent 40 days in jail for it.
Yeah, and it said he was allowed to do it on the weekends. You know, I'm sure his son Patrick's getting him some pretty good lawyers here. They fight for the best thing that they can. So he got the 40 hours, but he was doing it on the weekends.
No, 40 days.
Sorry, 40 days, yeah. But he could serve it on the weekends.
Well, dude, that's a lot. I mean, Jiminy Christmas. 20 weekends in a row, so that's 5 months. Of, you know, every weekend going to the Slammer and hanging out.
Would you do that or go 40 straight nights?
Ugh, dude, I would do neither. I would take off to South America or something. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he got like 1-08, 1-19, and then he just got this bad boy, which is sweet timing for his son.
Well, so I was thinking about that, and I'm like, well, is this a distraction for Patty? And, you know, only Patrick really knows that. But it sounds like this has been going on for a while. So I think that, you know, if it was like a first-time offense or something like that, maybe. But it sounds like, you know, his pops has been kind of come across this before. So I don't think it would really be that much of a distraction. And then I start thinking about that. Remember, it was the same Super Bowl. The Niners versus the Chiefs when Andy Reid's son was going through all that legal battles.
He was drinking and driving and hit somebody.
Yeah, hit like a parked car on the side of the highway. And I was thinking then that had to be a distraction. I mean, it had to be. But somehow they powered through and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're talking about killing someone with Reid's son. This one's not as traumatic, you know, the look of his dad, he looks like he kind of whacks him back or does maybe some worse stuff like regularly. He just looks a little disheveled. And the brother gets in trouble. So, yeah, it's not new to Patrick. It's just unfortunate for him. It's just like he answered one question and just said it's a family issue. You know, we're just going to kind of leave it at that.
Right. Come on. I mean, the guy who asked the question, you think he's really going to get into it?
Right.
Sure. Let's talk about my dad for a second. Well, when I was 10, I mean, come on. Patty goes, let's move on. I'm ready to play some ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard they were kind of asking Patrick, you know, the relationship with Kelsey. And where did it start? And, you know, has it always been good? And he's like, yeah, you could tell he was a good dude right away. He kind of came up and said what's up to me. And, you know, he'd been in the league like 3 years before him.
Yeah.
So he was starting to perform. But he's like, it was really cool. He asked my wife, you know, at the I don't know if they were married yet, but he's like, he asked Brittany and I if we wanted to go to a Royals game with him. So the three of us went to a Royals game and just, you know, we've hit it off ever since.
Nice. Usually, I mean, you know, it's pretty every quarterback is going to have his guy that he's throwing to. I mean, on every team, you know, even down to high school, college or whatever, you know, the quarterback's going to have typically, you know, one of his buds is going to be a guy he's throwing to.
Trav was getting in good with him early. He's like, dude, just throw me the pill.
Right. And he's like, I've got no problem throwing you the pill if you concentrate, my friend.
He's like, I'm in. I balled for you against the Ravens.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. I saw that the Niners weren't having it with their playing field, their practice field.
Yeah, it kind of kept picking up steam, you know. I don't know if it was just the day before yesterday or yesterday. They kind of kept talking about it. And yeah, it seems like the Chiefs did get the better draw. You got like the field that's already there and established. You got the Raiders practice facility. And then you're throwing us at UNLV and you're throwing the sod over the turf.
Oh, is that what it was? The yeah. sod over the turf.
And then, you know, they asked Goodell last night at his Super Bowl presser, you know, what's going on? He's like, you know, look, this isn't like something we just think of willy-nilly. And we did this like last week. He's like, we have guys since December inspecting like Super Bowl towns. He's like, the sod was put over it recently, but he's like, guys from the Player Association, all of our turf and sod experts, all these guys go look at it and they have to sign off on it. He's like, there's a firmness rating. It's like at a 5. And you know,
yeah, it was like a 50, and the Niners like it when it's at a 70 or something.
He's
like,
it's a little softer than what they'd like. He's like, but it passed every inspection that we've put it through.
Wow.
So I think Shanahan even's like, this is, you know, let's stop talking about this. We're going to use it. You know, we're moving forward.
Right.
It's just funny how something like that gets out and just snowballs because there's, you're not really talking about the game for 5 days. Like, what else can we talk about here?
Right. Is that how long the Super Bowl row is? I guess it's Monday through the Super Bowl.
I guess. I don't know. You know, we're kind of talking about some people they send down there. And, you know, McCaffrey's mom has, like, her podcast. And so she chits about stuff. Did you see? She was saying she couldn't afford, like, a suite. Did you see that?
No.
She's like, you know, even Moneybags Christian and his girlfriend Olivia, you know, they can't whip out their money bags. They cost so much this year. She's like, I don't know if it's the Vegas effect or Taylor Swift's driving them up.
She's wow.
Like, she goes, they're ridiculous. So she's like, we kind of fight and clawed to get 8 seats, like in one section.
Wow.
We were by each other. And she's like, Christian's friends aren't even like going to go because it's such a ripoff. They're going to just have a watch party.
Yeah.
And then so obviously something came out the next day because Christian's girlfriend, Olivia's, she's like an Instagram. She has a lot of followers and can do post for money too. So you could tell she's like, hey, you know, Lisa McCaffrey, I got you covered. Happy birthday. You know, thanks 360 Suites or whoever it was. So you could tell the company stepped in and provided it if she kind of blew them up on.
Oh, really?
And so now they have the box.
Sweet.
Yeah, I mean, good for them. But they were saying that the prices were 1.2 mil to like 2.4 mil for the fat boxes, like with the bathroom and the server.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, get serious with that.
So even Christian's like, dude. I love my high school buddies and stuff, but I'm not going to drop like 1.2 here.
Dude, just think how much the everything is in Vegas then. Like the strip clubs and the drinks and all that, just times it by 5.
Oh, dude, just to get like the Escalade ride or whatever down the street, they just triple that.
Or they go into the strip clubs and these guys that are in town and they sit down and the ladies are like, hi, would you like a lap dance? 250 bones for a song. And these guys go, what? And they go, it's the Super Bowl. Let's crank it up.
They go, I'm tuned, no problem.
Just give me your credit card. I'll take care of it over here. Guy goes, no problem. And he wakes up the next morning to American Express calling him up going, there's a small amount of chips that were charged on this. What's the spearmint rhino?
He goes, I signed that thing left-handed. That wasn't me.
He didn't even sign it. The lady friend signed it. He goes, gee, I don't remember getting home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They're letting it rip. I mean, dude, those people off the strip or on the strip, wherever, they can make a killing this week. They make their money for the year.
No doubt. No doubt. Yep, they're pumped. Vegas is pumped that it's coming there.
Yeah. Yeah, the storm, back to that storm, but it canceled like the Pebble Beach finish, you know, the golf they had to call off that Sunday. So I was looking for some golf. I watched LIV. LIV was on. They were down in Mexico. And that went to a playoff, but now LIV is in Las Vegas this week.
Oh, wow.
While the Super Bowl is there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to be playing second fiddle.
Well, for sure. I don't think they're going to get a whole lot of people out there viewing, but it's interesting they're there.
Yeah. I saw something interesting about football. You know, PFF, that grading system? I think you were chitting about it a few weeks ago.
Pro Football Focus.
Right. And so they, it, for those of you that don't know, it's like, well, they do several things, but they basically, when you watch the TV and it says Micah Parsons, third rated linebacker out of 55 starters, they're the ones that come up with those numbers, and they rank every player every play. They've got guys and gals that sit there and do this. And so anyway, Chris Collinsworth, I guess, you know, he got involved with it like, 7 years ago. And I knew he was involved, but I didn't know how much. And so, cause he was like, oh, this is pretty cool. I could take this to NBC. You know, I could make this blow up. And so Chris invested, $6 million in it. And now they do it for colleges, and every NFL team hires them to come in with this grading system. And so Chris's $6 million is worth $106 million now.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, wow, that worked out for Big Chris.
Do they show those, I mean, I always see it on those Sunday night games where it's like, you know, number two,
right.
Do they do that on the other networks now, or do they just do that for him?
I do not know the answer to that, if it's just NBC or not. One of the things that was interesting, though, is they were talking about an example where this one guy in like 2016 or no, yeah, like it was a while ago, it was like 7 or 8 years ago. He led the league in quarterback sacks, played for the Falcons. I can't remember his name. But anyway, but he was still ranked the 32nd linebacker in the NFL, even though he had 16 sacks and led the whole NFL in sacks. And you're like, wait, what's going on? How's this guy lead the NFL in sacks and he's ranked this low? Well, because when you break down the tape, a lot of the sacks, like another D lineman forced him right into it. He didn't have to do anything. Or he like rushed the quarterback and there wasn't a blocker there and he, you know, drilled the quarterback and stuff like that. So they factor all that stuff into it, into their ratings.
Yeah. If you're opposite like a Myles Garrett or someone who gets all the attention, you're just like,
yeah,
cakewalk in for all these little ankle sacks.
Right. Exactly.
A little different.
So they factor those things in, but a lot of guys use them for negotiations too. You know, they're like, hey, I'm a baller. Why don't you check with big PFF here? They rank me this.
That's like they should have checked with us on Jordan Poole. It's a little easier to hit those three balls when everyone's doubling Steph and you get the open kick out.
Well, no kidding.
And then when you're the guy, we'll catch you later, bud.
Well, yeah, you will. Or, you know, I mean, big Klay Thompson made a career next to big Steph.
Yeah. We'll dive into hoops here in a few weeks.
Yes, we will.
2024 is here in full swing, and that means it's time for New Year's resolution check-in with our friends at Manscaped. It's never too late to level up your grooming game and keep your bush tamed. Manscaped's new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is every man's cheat code to look good, feel good, and turn the page on confidence this year. Whether you're going for a trim or that clean-shaven look, this trimmer has you covered. Trusted by over 10 million men worldwide. Now it's your time to get a grip on your grooming with an exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use our code BOLT, B-O-L-T, and you'll get a 20% off and free shipping. The ball is dropped, but don't drop the ball on your balls. Let's get back to the show.
So maybe we should start talking about the big daddy here.
Sure.
Well, there's some cool stats here. There's this dude that works with the Action Network, Evan Abrams, and he's got some sweet articles. Like, he pulls these cool nuggets out, like against the spread and statistics and stuff. So, like, one of them was whichever team enters the Super Bowl with the better record on the season. So, like, KC won 80% of their games this year. San Fran won 84% of them. The team with the better record entering the Super Bowl is 1-14 against the spread.
Really?
Yeah. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I saw the Niners have been favored in every single game they've played this year.
Yep, that does not happen very often.
I think the last time was the Kansas City Chiefs in 2021, and it said they lost the Super Bowl that year.
That must have been to Tom.
Mm-hmm. I think they said going back, the team that, when it's happened, like they haven't won the championship.
Yeah, well, so, you know, kind of on that topic, remember I was like, how did this line get to where it is, where it's San Fran minus the two? And a lot of it is, you know, factored in with stats like that, where they were, you know, because I've done some research on this to try to, you know, get how are we coming up exactly with this number? Because frankly, it's, you know, mind-boggling to me that the Nines are minus two. And it's literally because of the power rankings, like during the season. You remember that they were pounding teams, like beating them by the double digit. And so they were ranked, the in people's power rankings. I don't personally do the power rankings. Mine's more of like the eye test and stuff. But they have the power rankings of the Niners power ranked higher than everyone. And, you know, one game or two games isn't going to shake their power rankings. And so regardless of what's happened in the playoffs, which you can agree or disagree with, they say, hey, we're not really, you know, factoring in two games of the playoffs that much. The Niners are still ranked, like in people's power rankings, better than the Chiefs.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. You got to go off what you kind of watched, you know, most recently, and like who they did it against has to factor in.
I mean, you know, like during the regular season, you have to factor it in. Like sometimes teams get smoked, right? And then the next week, people are like, wow, this squad's awesome, like the Cowboys or something. And then the Cowboys just totally crap the bed. But in this situation, yeah, you have to kind of look at it in the playoffs and say, okay, what's happened? Why has this happened? You know, in the Chiefs case, like, for example, dude, the biggest 409 of the entire season, big Kadarius Toney. I mean, we don't need to see that guy making any errors anymore because they go, hey, bud, we're not even going to put you on the active roster right now. Did you see that?
Did he not make the Super Bowl one for sure?
Dude, I don't think so. And he was barking, you know, because they...
Oh, about the injury. Yeah, he's like, they're making up injuries with me, and Andy Reid had to defend it.
Well, and you know what? And what Andy really wanted to say is go, hey, Tony, if you want, I can tell everyone you suck, and we don't want you out there. I'm trying to protect you here, bud.
Yeah.
Get a clue, guy. I mean, you lost like two games for the Chiefs by yourself. The pick off the hands to Detroit, and then the Kelce play, obviously, when you weren't lined up correctly. I mean, they didn't have that many losses, and you've got two of them. So they got rid of him. Sky Moore, they said peace out to. He's like on the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
Who's some of the other garbage receivers they had? So they go, hey, scoot over. You're gone. Rice, get ready to play some ball. We know you're the rookie. And then Kelce says, all right, guys. Farting giggles is over with. I'm ready to play some games now.
They go, Bolt, can you get out to Vegas? We can throw you on a 10-day here.
Yeah, I don't know if I quite have the speed like I used to, though.
Just possessions. Yes, touchdowns.
I could probably do. I could do some 5-yard crossing patterns over the middle, and it's guaranteed if the ball comes my direction that it's going to get caught.
Right.
I can guarantee you that. I don't know what I'm going to do with it after I catch it, but it will get caught.
Just kind of that, the Welker, secure it, kind of go down, yep. Just get tapped on the back.
Yep.
Move the chains, give it the point.
Speaking of those type of receivers, Edelman, they were talking about like these, you know, people on the show might want to vote for or try to put money on who's going to be the MVP and stuff like that. So the last two receivers are Edelman and Kupp. That won the MVP from the Super Bowls. And then the running backs go all the way back to the 90s.
Yeah, it wasn't like mid-90s?
Yeah, big Emmitt Smith won it. And then Davis for the Broncos.
Terrell, yeah.
Those were the last two running backs. So it's almost always a quarterback that wins it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Quickly on the running back. You know how they're like, oh, the time of the running back's gone, and you know they don't want to pay him anymore. But Big Harbaugh, you know, just got the Chargers job, and they're saying he's kind of maybe thinking about going for Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I saw something about that. That's smart.
Yeah, he's like, you know, Eckler's fine, but he's like, dude, give me someone kind of pounded here, because running the ball is so big for someone like his system. So
I forgot about Eckler. Well, Eckler goes, wow, this is awesome. I guess that shows what coach thinks about me.
Well, I think he only came back on a one-year deal, I think. So.
Oh, okay. So he might be free agent?
Yep.
Here's some other cool stats. So how about the Chiefs have scored on their last 8 straight opening drives in the playoffs? Good try, guys.
Just points in general?
So the last 8 games in a row in the playoffs, they've scored on their opening drive.
Mm-hmm.
That means Patty's got it. He comes down, and they get either a field goal or a touchdown on that very first drive.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like with him, obviously. And then just ball security has been so big with him lately, especially at the last 2. I don't think he's thrown a pick last year or this year in the playoffs. I think you have to go back to the Bengals game when they beat him to move on to play the Rams. Was the last time Patty threw a pick in the playoffs.
Well, I think the only times that Patty's lost in the postseason was that game, right, against the Bengals. And then obviously to Tom in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was kind of looking at these things where, well, so how about this? Patty has played 101 games as the favorite. He's the favorite in the ball game. Only 12 games has he been a dog in his career. You might wonder what his spread is as the dog, and it's 10-1-1 against the spread. Patty.
Yeah, what kind of game you think we're looking at here, like score-wise?
Well, let me tell you who I think you can count on for balling, okay? Because a lot of times, you know, you'd like to think you can count on the whole squad, but you can't. And so from the Chiefs, there's 2 guys I know you can count on to ball in that game. It's, of course, Patty. Like, isn't that sweet? Like, and what I mean by that is, like, he's not going to screw the game up for you. He's going to ball. That is guaranteed. And then the other guy might not be known to as many people, but his name is Chris Jones, and that guy wrecks havoc in the middle of the defensive line. We've been talking about him for a few years, but those two, I know they're going to ball. Like, you don't have to worry about them. Like, even if Chris Jones was like, hey guys, I'm rolling out to the strip club night before the game, I'd be like, all right, Chris, do what you got to do, bud. We'll see you tomorrow. And I know Chris is going to ball. And then on the other side of the coin, the big Niners, CMC is going to ball. That's guaranteed. Like, you don't have to worry about that guy getting ready to play. And then the other guy is Big Debo. Big Debo's going to ball too if he can stay on the field and not get hurt.
Yeah, he's just the one that comes up ginger more than not. It's like he just needs to keep playing through some of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about it's his style of play. So those 4 guys are going to ball. The thing is like, okay, well, they're props. Like, do I think their props are going to go over? Not necessarily. Like, CMC, I think his rush yards is like 90. His receiving yards is 33.
Oh, I take the receiving and take the under on the rushing.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, the Chiefs probably know. I mean, who are we going to lean on here more? The guy that's only been playing quarterback in the NFL for 2 years or Big CMC? You know, they're going to – so I think Kansas City's going to be kind of paying attention to CMC. I could see Debo, you know, getting loose a little bit. I like Debo's rushing stats. I don't know what his over-unders are on that. But then – I do think Patty, though, the one thing that I look at this, I'm like, well, how is Patty lost? And he's only lost to, like, complete ballers in the postseason, Joe Burrow and Tom Brady. And Tom Brady, I can't believe I took Patty in that Super Bowl. I looked at the last 13 Super Bowls, and I'm 9-4, and one of the losses that I had is when Patty went up against Tom. And I'm like, that was stupid. Like, Tom's at home. He played in his own stadium. Like, come on. So that wasn't even like a neutral game for Patty because that Super Bowl was played in Tampa that year. But they had a great defense. So my question for you is, do you think the Niners have a great defense? Because the other Super Bowls that I lost is when Tom lost to the Giants, and against Eli. And that's just incredible. But it obviously wasn't Eli. It was the Giants' defense. So the only way you stop these incredible quarterbacks is, like, remember when Patty lost to Tampa Bay? Like, his O-line couldn't block anyone.
No, that was they had to address that really quick in the offseason because they're like, this isn't going to work if we don't give this guy time.
Right. And so that's what I think that's kind of where the handicap starts, is who you think is going to win this game. Is like, do you think the Niners are going to, you know, cause problems for Patrick on defense? And I'll stop there, and I'll end that as a, with a question mark for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think they can. I think that there's a lot of eyeballs on them to step up because they know they need them in this game. But it's like looking back on the Tom versus Eli thing, you're like, no way Eli beats him here. That's the one thing that does give me a little pause is I'm like, you know, they're so good as a team, the Niners, and everyone wants to downplay Brock as the game manager, which I don't think is fair narrative for that guy. I think he's good and getting better. He's a little more mobile than people want to give him credit for. I just, you know, if I'm going to pick a squad, you know, I'm leaning with Patrick. I just, there's a little hesitancy based on some of those ones where I thought Tom was a lock and the Giants beat him twice.
Well, and that's what I mean. But the Giants had like these incredible defenses that we overlooked.
But I mean, the Niners, it's not as good as 3 or 4 years ago when they played him in the Super Bowl, but it's still a really good, you know, what are they? They're top five NFL defense.
Right. But a lot of that was like, a lot of that stats was made up in like the first 80% of the season. You know, like how do you think the Niners have done like the last 20% of the season? I mean,
but then we can go like, what's Kansas City's offensive rank? It's like, we're just giving Patrick all the credit in the world here, which he should get. And it's a huge stage, which he does well on. But if I'm going to look at the rankings, it's like Kansas City's offense is ranked kind of piss.
Well, not the last 20% though.
Sure. Yeah. If we go more recent.
But my point is being that I think, you know, yeah, everyone talks about Patty and everyone talks about the Niners. I think people should look at the other side of the ball and take a look at the defenses. And so how about the Kansas City Chiefs? They have not given up 28 points all year. 28 points or more all year, and I think only four teams got above 20 on them. So I think this defense is seriously underrated. We kind of led, you know, we touched on this a few weeks ago. Clearly, you know, they shut down the Ravens, and you know, they went into Buffalo, see you later Josh, went in to Baltimore, see you later Lamar. Come on. I mean, these guys aren't going to finish the deal now. It was like last year. Remember last year when we took Kansas City and I'm like, are people going to really want to say I could have gotten 2 points with Patrick Mahomes? Well, deja vu, ladies and gentlemen. And let me give you a few more stats before we take off. You probably know which team I'm taking here. But last time, remember when Patty had to make the comeback against the Nines? How about he had two interceptions and he got sacked four times and he still won the ball game? Now, I don't think that's going to happen.
No, the O-line's been short up. And he's also a little bit wiser in terms of getting rid of the ball and how long he holds it.
Right. Well, he's older now.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is his fourth Super Bowl. Hello. I mean, that plays into it. That, you have to take that in consideration also.
Yeah, he's not as nervous going to bed for this one and stuff as like Brock is.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, one of my buds was like, well, everyone's on Kansas City because like 70% of the people are on Kansas City right now. And then I said to him, and I go, well, is that really the public though? I mean, who do you know in the public that bets like 10 days, 2 weeks before the Super Bowl starts, right? Most people wait until the day before or the day of. Even that contest that you and I are in, you know, and it's where you bet the whole season and there's like 30 people left in the league. Maybe there's 20 people left in the league out of like 90. And I put my bet in like 6 days ago. And I looked today and still no one has put a bet in. So my response back to my buddy was, I don't think that that's the public that's putting their bet in. So then you wonder, what's the most people have bet on a team? 68% of the people took the Patriots over the Rams when the Patriots won 13-3. That was an incredible Super Bowl. That was legit. Mm-hmm. 68% also took the Broncos over Seattle when Seattle crushed them 43-8. And unfortunately, I was one of those 68% that took the Bronx. That was horrible.
The first snap over the head
into the end zone for the safety. Yeah. I mean, wow, is the ball game over with right there? So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going with Patrick again, +2 against the Nines. I mean, I was surprised this line even came out that way. I think that the Chiefs should be favored. And I just think it's not because of Patty. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's great. Their defense is highly underrated right now. And yep. It showed. And the statistics show.
Yeah. No, I when this came out, that's kind of where my eyeballs went, and it hasn't changed. So I'm with you. I like Kansas City, and I don't know how you don't give them the risk of even just roll the dice with them on this one.
Yeah. I mean, I have you heard anyone say that they like the Niners, like even on TV and stuff?
Not a ton, which, you know, we typically don't usually love when that happens.
No, we don't love that at all. That's why I wanted to look into it, and I got that 68%, you know. I'm like, okay, well, at least 68% of the people were on on Tommy against the Rams. So it does, you know, you can get the W. And I think closer to game time, it will go down from the 70%. There will be more Niner money.
Are those casino numbers, or is that like factoring in FanDuel and all these places people bet now?
Yeah, supposedly it factors in like 10 different sports books. And, you know, it's not my numbers, it's someone else's, so you never know, right? But yeah, it's supposed to factor in like 10 of the biggest sports books around. There are some big bets that came in, though. Someone did throw $1 million on the Niners already.
Mm-hmm.
Someone actually put $100,000 on the coin flip already, too.
Tails, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I don't get it. I mean,
someone's not worried about it.
I guess.
When they do that.
So if someone comes in and hammers the line on the Chiefs, you know, the day before, what you think it won't go more than like a plus one or a pick 'em?
Well, so that's a good question. The there's so much public money in the Super Bowl that the public money far outweighs the
whales.
Yeah. Well, or the smart money, quote unquote, smart money. So, there's so much public money that gets in on it. I mean, I saw like something like 26% of adults gamble on the Super Bowl this year, you know, with the squares or whatever.
I already bought my squares from my
neighbor. So did I. And I never win those bad boys, by the way.
No.
I mean, mine is a donation. I never even get close. They're, you know, I always get the crappiest numbers, like 8-8. Sweet. When's that going to happen?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, not 8-8, 6-6.
They said a 5 hit last year for like the Chiefs. They had 35, and the 5 was really rare to hit. It's like 2.6%.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. You got the percentage on it. I like it.
Yeah, they were showing it.
So one thing that I'll end on that you want to take into consideration is, you know, you want to bet, if you do the props, you want to do the yes, no's, like, or over, under. You don't want to do like Debo MVP, one in 14 chance, because if they have Debo at 1 in 14, the real odds should be like 1 in 24, and you don't want to do the needle in the haystack, like the score is going to end up, you know, the margin of victory is 1-7, like none of those. I mean, you can have fun with them, but I'm saying if you really want to try to win money, it's over, unders, yes, nos.
Yep, I like it. I'm with you. I'm taking the +2 Chiefs here for sure. I think the Cousins and KC will appreciate that from us.
Yep, they sure will.
But I can't wait to watch this bad boy. We still have flag football. They don't postpone that just because it's Super Bowl Sunday.
So nope, we got our own Super Bowl.
We'll get that in, and then we will head off and watch the game with the rest of you. But looking forward to it. We're going to come at you guys next week, next Tuesday, for a wrap-up.
Yep, with the recap.
So we'll chit how it all went down, but enjoy, have a few brews or water or Diet Coke like me, and we can chat next Tuesday with you guys.
And take the Ubers after the party.
Yeah. All right, enjoy. We'll catch you guys next week.
See ya.